I'm on.
Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It's just shortly after 2 p.m. on February 5th, 2020, and the Story County Board of Supervisors. We're having yet another budget discussion, and I think we're about ready to wrap it up. So for the record, we'll state who we are here. I'm Linda Merkin, Chair of the Board of Supervisors.
Sandra King, Director of External Operations and County Services.
Laura Tolson, Board of Supervisors.
Longest title in the world.
Lucy Martin, Auditor.
Lisa Heddens, Board of Supervisors.
Alyssa Lindell, Director of Internal Operations and Human Resources.
Lisa Markley, Assistant Auditor. Glad I don't have that long a name.
Sorry. Sorry, Sandra.
I thought it was a good idea.
Well, it's a job description.
Yeah.
It's a title. Okay, so Lisa Markley, would you like to run us through your latest creation here?
My latest creation.
Your latest creation.
Okay, so what I've done, the one that's stapled together for you, mm-hmm. is like a composite of everything, and then there's a couple other things we can talk about too if you want to. So, Linda, you had asked me, one of the things you'd asked me is what are we going to say on the publication that we do for the first mm-hmm. public hearing resolution? So here's what I have so far, and if there's anything else you guys want to add, just subtract anything you don't like, tell me. Valuation increases, adding staffing needs, additional staffing needs, insurance increases, salary increases, continuation of projects, including HVAC, Hickory Grove, and Point. Okay? What I did was I just tried to pull some really big things out overall, not going into a lot of detail. This is probably also what will be on, close to what will be on the final publication of the budget for, you know, that we send out.
Everybody will know what HVAC means. I'm wondering about Point. What if we just said trail paving?
All right.
I like that.
Is that okay, everybody?
Yep.
Any other thoughts about this? What if we said insurance and salary increases to keep from saying increases twice?
Okay. Insurance and...
What are we doing with Hickory Grove?
It's a paving. $180,000 worth of paving. So
about Hickory Grove
big.
And trail paving. Yeah.
Well, is it Hickory Grove? Is it their trail? It's not their trail.
It's the road.
Lot. It's
right.
The
right.
Road.
Yeah.
That one road that isn't.
You could just put Hickory Grove improvements.
See, I just put Hickory Grove mm-hmm. because I was going to put improvements, but didn't really fit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I just put Hickory Grove because they don't think there's going to be any leftover, there's going to be any additional funding next year, but I think that there will be a little, I think it's going to carry over. I don't think they're going to be completely done, first
okay.
of all. Plus, they have some other projects at Hickory Grove, so I just used Hickory Grove.
That's good. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
I've never in 25 years been asked any questions regarding what we put in the publication. But I don't know if supervisors are asked. I've never had that.
Never in the public.
Do you have any characters left? Could you do? And do you have, I can't remember what. How many characters?
I don't know. The space is this long.
I was just saying Hickory Grove Park.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go for StoryCom or communications upgrade.
We could put that in there too.
That's $3 million.
I'm not so sure that one shouldn't go in the other one.
Got it.
The other one.
Okay.
For reason. Mm-hmm. Because then in the next publication we go by service area.
Got it.
More so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha. I'm fine if you want to do Hickory Grove Park. I'm fine with just Hickory Grove
okay.
as well.
People don't know where it is. It doesn't matter. Okay.
Those are good edits.
And, you know, this is not set in stone at this point anyway. You can always tell me before I send it to publication, which is not until mid to late February. Another week and a half. So, okay, so all of this, what we're looking at is going to include the three positions that we talked about, and one current position for the housing coordinator. So if that's been figured back in. The watershed coordinator is still not funded. It keeps the 22 positions funded from rural and moves one of the four detectives to the general fund. One of the, yeah, that was in there, okay. All the salaries, no, not all. Salaries in the general and the rural are budgeted at 95%. Two reasons that I'm not doing secondary roads and mental health at 95% is that the mental health is just its own little special animal. And secondary roads really, they have to amend their budget with the DOT if it changes. So it's probably easier to just do 100% for them also. Pardon?
Did you do that in the past? Is that what we both said?
We
I'm just curious.
Kind of both ways. Yeah. Their ending fund balance is high, so it.
Well, they've had some turnover then. Yeah. 95% probably covered in the
This does lower the transfer to the supplemental from the general to 400,000. Linda had said 300,000. Mm-hmm. I did the 300,000 and then I changed it to 400. I can change it back. It puts our general fund. And our sub, or it puts our general fund and our sub, puts our general fund down below where I think we should publish.
Below 25.
Okay,
got it.
Okay. Okay, so I told you I'd give you an individual tax impact. So here's what I did. For the current year, FY20, the rollback is 56.9180. Okay? The current rate is $5.12714 for countywide, and rural is 836. So you have a home valued at 100,000. The taxable portion in this year, in the year we're in, is 56.9. The taxes to the county would be $292. If you're in the unincorporated area, your levy of 836. Your taxes would be $476 to the county this year. Okay? The proposal we're looking at right now with $8.26 or $5.02, 3 cents, the rollback is $55.0743. So that's what your it's 074. I'm sorry, I got an extra 3 in there. So your taxable is $55,074. So your general or countywide would be $277 to the county, which is obviously less than if you're paying currently. And your taxes in the unincorporated area would be $455, which is less than you're paying currently. This is county only. We have to realize that this does not include anybody else's requests and levies and all that kind of stuff. If all you owed was what you owed the county, this is what you pay. Okay? So, I did that for all of these scenarios that I gave you, too, just so you know. So here's what it looks like, which we talked about earlier, for all the different funds and all the different levies. We put the supplemental to $1 per 1,000. The publication that we're talking about having to do, the extra publication, is going to show 3.46% increase for tax askings there. And the rural at $3.623, that's going to be a 9.12% increase. Okay. This is what it gives us. It gives us an ending fund balance of 27% in the general, 24% in the supplemental, mental health, again, 21% in the rural, and secondary roads at 49%. That doesn't change throughout this. That and the mental health don't change. I've given you the list of what the assigned funds are at the end of the year, what the committed funds are, that kind of stuff. And then on the second page, I gave you the overall expense and revenue, what that's going to look like. And then I gave you a history of levy rates. Lisa had come in the other day and was asking me some levy rate questions, so I thought maybe I'd just put it all in one page for you.
Good.
So you had it.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got eight years worth of levies from 12 to 19. Okay. Now, when we were talking about putting the budget together and where you wanted it to end up and all that good stuff, one of the things we talked about was the ending fund balance in the rural fund. I'm comfortable at 18% on that. We're looking at 21% with this proposal, which is fine. I just wanted you to know what it looked like if we went down to 20% and if we went down to 19%, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to get it to 20%, if you lower your levy in the rural fund by $50,000, which in turn goes down to $3.195, you get a 20% ending fund balance. And if you lower that by $100,000, it goes down to $315. And you get a 19% in fund balance. You cannot raise it at the public hearing. You can lower it at the public hearing. But, okay, there's no but. You can't raise it, you can lower it. Now, one of the questions Lisa asked me was about the levies last year and going up the amount they did, and you were exactly spot on. That was one of the conversations we had. We didn't know what legislatively mm-hmm. was going to happen. Quite frankly, that's the way it is. 25 years worth of you don't know what kind of legislation is going to affect you mm-hmm. because they're not done until after we're done with the budget. So we were hearing at that point in time that they were going to limit us to, you know, 2% or whatever, or leave it where it's at, and there's whatever we certified last year was going to be it for that's not what happened. So going from the 17 cents on the rural to the 23, that was part of our reasoning on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You can decide what you're comfortable with and what you feel. I just know that in the rural fund, we don't key as much on the 25% because of the fact that we have monthly income coming in there. We don't in the general and mm-hmm. the general supplemental. So,
I'm thinking that to make a little bit more difference to people who are paying the rural, the unincorporated, then if we're going to change from 21, might as well go down to the 19%. I mean, rather than the 20. I mean, because as Lisa mm-hmm. said, it's a $50,000 overall reduction over the people who are paying, as opposed to a $100,000 reduction.
It's in tax revenues.
Right, in tax revenues.
What it makes a difference in is your taxes, as you can see. At the $50,000, they go down to $453.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a $3 difference if you go down to the another $3 if you go down to the other one. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, overall, $2-$3 difference.
And you said you would be comfortable at 18% in your reasoning.
She was comfortable with the 21% on the first.
No, I thought you said you'd be comfortable going down to 18. You could handle
18, 19%. Yeah, we have certified the budget at below 18%. I'm not comfortable.
No, sure.
And part of the reason is because we're getting a monthly income. Mm-hmm. We're getting local option sales tax going in there every month, so we have some dollars to use to get us through the first quarter.
Got you.
As opposed to the general and the general supplemental, the the majority of our tax or the majority of our dollars are coming in September and March.
Right. Okay. Great. So one consistent thing that has been discussed at every board table I've sat at here has been the reminder that these fund balances represent actual dollars from taxpayers that we're holding in reserve. And therefore, should we never get too far above what we need in holding unless we're specifically holding for projects, et cetera. Because otherwise, then we're taking more than we're just letting it sit in a bank account. So that's another reason why I'd be okay going down to the 19% in the rural fund balance. Everybody else is staying the same.
Am I correct that with the first proposal, the one that's dated 2.5, we in fact would be lowering our general supplemental tax rate?
Yeah, because you asked me to come back with a $1 as opposed to, because I think one of the presentations I gave you last week was 98 cents, so we went to $1.
Mm-hmm. We've already done that, and we're keeping rural the same, the rural rate the same.
The 323, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In that first one.
The rural rate is actually 826, no matter what.
Okay.
Because we pay the whole, everybody in the rural pays all of it.
I have one.
The specific add-on for the rural is $3.20. So,
Lisa, I have a question related to this $100,000 in rural that we were kind of talking about right now. That goes back to what Sheriff Fitzgerald and we discussed, that they had that master control switch programming for the $138,000 that we discussed, whether he would pay for it out of his own budget by the end of this year. He's sent us some communication since then that's indicative that the price that we can get this and get it as an update rather than having to go through the whole new RFP process plus raise the cost quite a bit. It's got to be committed to now and has to be done and paid for by June 30th. Now, related to the rural fund, would we be taking that money out of this rural fund that we've got now?
No, the only thing that comes out of the rural fund is the sheriff, just related to the sheriff, is his salaries for his 22 people. So everything else that he has budgeted is in the general fund.
So my next question, could it be? And my thought is, where I'm headed here is at the 21%. You know, we're looking at, I know that's the end of the fund balance clear out at the end of fiscal year 21, but is there capacity if we went, in the rural fund as we move from 20 to 21 to be able to absorb that? I know we aren't taking anything from the jail out, but could we take it out of the rural fund?
You could move that detective back to the rural fund from the general fund and free it up in the general. But it's more money.
Okay, so the spending of rural fund dollars is tied to primarily intended to benefit the unincorporated area.
We don't have enough friends.
So that's the threshold that you guys make that determination based on.
So we could move, that's
139. Well, first of all, my understanding of that 139,000 is that he has it in his operating. He's got enough extra in his, operating to pay for that.
He does right now, he thinks, because if I remember the email correctly, I did not print it off. He said something about would not be sure it would still be there at the end of April. Isn't that what the email said?
I can't remember.
Okay. April sticks to my mind about that. He says, what if we get to April and we find out we don't have enough money? So even though he may today think he has it in his operating budget, he may have other expenses. That's what I got out of this email.
Yeah.
What, and I'll throw a little more in this, that
the number again?
That's about 0.02% of the general fund balance, ending fund balance.
All right, so that was 138.
139,000 is 0.02% of the general fund balance.
Okay.
Whereas it is, well, I'll tell you what it is in the rural, but I don't think that qualifies as primarily benefiting the unincorporated area. That's 15% of it.
Okay. Thank you.
It's a hit on that.
Okay. I know that they had the trial that got transferred down here, and Nick Lenny had come to me and said that their expenses would be high because they were doing their own security, et cetera, on that. So I estimated another $25,000 there, but nobody knows. I suppose that's out of their general payroll. Okay, but thank you. I just am looking for ways to move money in.
So what I'm hearing you say, I think, with your calculation there, is you would not be worried about him going ahead and doing that right now.
He says he's got the money in there. My take on it is, if he's $20,000 short or $30,000 short, he's going to come and say, listen, I can't get it all out of my budget, and we'd have to put $20,000 toward it, or $30,000 toward it, or whatever that figure is.
I can circle back with him if people want me to, and I can simply say, we're supportive of you going ahead with it as long as you're really trying to get it all out of this year's money, and please do try to, but if you just can't make that work. So maybe we don't see the requests come in later.
I mean, it's going to come forward as an unbudgeted item anyway, because it's over $5,000.
Okay, so bring it to the board as an unbudgeted item.
Yeah, it has to come forward. I mean, per our financial policy, anything over $5,000 that's not budgeted, it has to come forward to the board anyway.
There's only a contract.
Okay.
Because I think you'd asked me whether they had that much in their operating. I said, I have no idea. I don't know what they're planning on spending the rest of the year. That's their deal, not mine.
What did they call that thing exactly? It's the GL, it's a
PLAC. Does that sound right?
What is it? PL, Master Control Lock was part of it.
Yeah.
Okay, Programmable Master Control Lock. That's what I wrote down at one point.
I don't know. I just found it interesting that it didn't get brought up in the 20 budget or the 21 budget. It got in the middle.
And because I brought it up, I mean, you know, it was like, because they come and talk to us about it. What are we going to do about paying for this? Okay.
I'll get back to them.
Well, he kind of said something at his, I thought, his budget. Didn't he, when he was before us, talked a little bit about it?
He said, then he said later that they had to get it done right away and get it together.
Yeah, it was kind of unclear as to the urgency or whether it needed to be totally replaced or...
Right, because when I asked, he didn't talk about it during his presentation, so I asked what happened to it.
So.
And that's when they thought they weren't sure, maybe it could last a couple more years or maybe not.
Anyway, then.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Sure, thanks.
Okay. We could leave it with the 21% ending balance, and we could, at hearing, lower it if we decided to. Correct? The rule?
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of for doing that because I think it'd be good to watch the legislature. And we can't raise it back up, so I'm kind of for leaving it there now. We're lowering supplemental.
You're lowering overall, yeah.
Right.
And we're lowering overall, so I'm not feeling too bad about that. I would agree that, I would agree with we are using, we're collecting taxes, but we also have unknowns. And we tell everybody during budget hearings that if you have something that comes up, you know, that we will, you know, that you can't handle during the year, that we'll take care of it. So having good fund balances helps us do that if we need to.
So just along those lines, I did rework my little sheets, all right, here. And a part of that has to do with my meeting last week, I think it was last week, with Jody Stumbo from Emergency Residence Project. So I'll be communicating with you and Carla when I get a minute here, all right. But it turns out that they anticipate by July to have a pilot program for permanent supported scattered housing up and running, and they will be coming and asking us. 75% of the program they expect to be paid for through some HUD money called Continuum of Care. That's what
Anawin
uses. Exactly, right. Mm-hmm. And Anawin's going to help them through the process. Okay, mm-hmm. But they still need to come up with 25% of a local match.
So who else are they asking?
I didn't ask her that. I just know that they'll be coming to the county. I would not surprise me if they're going to the city also. So based upon the numbers that had been thrown out that Carla had indicated when we had kind of that update discussion with, you know, when Amos pulled us all together just to provide updates, that there was somewhere between, you know, about 120,000 or a little more was the estimate possibly to do some kind of pilot program. I went ahead and I estimated 6 people in, because she doesn't know how many she's going to have yet, okay? So I estimated if the pilot were 6 people paying $600 a month rent that they had to pay times 12 months, and then there was one worker coming in at the same, about roughly $76,000 with benefits or whatever, as we estimated for the housing person we're looking at, all right? If we did half of the 25% match, it'd be $18,750. Just give you a feel, you know, for that, you know. But, and then I did leave in total, I came up with 100,000 of anticipated likely requests that aren't in the budget that we may hear about as we head into late fiscal year 20 or early fiscal year 21. And another big part of that was the Mica Dental Clinic at 25,000. There. And then the rest of them are much smaller amounts for various things that I suspect we'll still get. But we took all of that stuff out of the budget, and we were just saying as things came along. Just wanted you to know that based upon the discussion with ERP that, and then with, you know, some other things, that we could be $100,000 of.
So would that housing project be something they would send through asset at some point?
You know, when I talked to Jody about it, I told her I felt that that would be the appropriate point long term. That if, in fact, that after their pilot, it is strictly a pilot, it is part of a larger programming and plans they're doing, they're looking at building a campus. The board's already talked about it, $15 to $18 million. For a campus, and they're now getting ready to put out for a feasibility study. This campus would include much more room to house people who were homeless. It would also have a day center. There's something called a day center, I think that's what it's called, that homeless who aren't ready to come in off the street, there's showers, there's washers, it would be more room for their staff, et cetera. Part of the reason I timed the discussion I did with ERP is knowing that I was going over to talk to Steve Shanker and have Stry County Medical come over, and we were meeting with the CEO of Anawim, and then their planning and director from Ames came in, related to affordable housing. What could be built as far as a joint campus, and could ERP be accommodated in part of that without going out trying to raise another 15 to 18 on their own, million on their own? I mean, you know, there's synergy there since Anawim is already going to help ERP. It turned out Anawim was just thrilled that the City Council of Ames has now freed up some land to go for affordable housing. In fact, if it weren't for the council having to put out an RFP and approve, Anawim was ready to submit for the funding in March.
Anawam's the largest recipient of these tax credit dollars in the program in the state of Iowa. So they have a boilerplate all ready to go, and they could have put up 36 affordable at 60% or below MII. They could have had them up by most likely then within 9 months to a year. Of course, as we all know, you want public input, you want other things like that, right? And then the other part of this was Story County Medical would actually bring their scoring down. Russ knows what he's doing, was way beyond us. The same thing with Jody. Now back to ERP. And I have waited till after this particular meeting. Then I wanted to go ahead and email her back and let her know she should talk to Anawam. She said she'd be willing to, they may look at actually doing Story County Medical, the campus, and building all of their facilities over here. I don't see that, and I don't think Russ saw that necessarily as where it should be, because of the services are still in Ames.
Yeah, I mean, you have no transportation
right.
for homeless
right.
people.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So anyway, I've now brought you up to date on those conversations I had and who's most likely to do what, when, how, why. But as far as the supported program, talking about the budget right now, is that you're looking at them anticipating bringing up the pilot program maybe even this spring, not even headed into fiscal year 21. And yes, she'll be coming with. And I back to the answer how we got there, it was long way around, is that asset would be how it would fund long term. It's just that they need to start the pilot program first. And that has been common that people have come to the board for non service unit type of funding to start, et cetera, and then they transfer over.
Does match money for what kind of grant?
It would be the continuum of care grant that would pay for 75% of their costs related to permanent supported scattered housing. And they're looking at scattered housing here for this pilot program. What they're going to do with that campus later on, maybe part scattered, part in one location. They were talking about small efficiency apartments right off the back of the building with individual doors that people could walk in and walk out and not have to come through the facilities. That's just where they are. They're at a feasibility study, but it was a surprise for everybody to know that they were looking at really that type of investment.
So just based on that conversation there, I know you were looking at going down to the 19% for rural. Are you now saying you're comfortable at the 21?
I'm either way. I just wanted to let you know that, you know, in the general fund, what we're looking at already is probably about $100,000 in assets. My answer is I'm either way, because once again, this would not be of benefit to mostly rural. The only thing I can anticipate is if HRDA could get a program, a pilot program together to specifically transport in a rural area. That would go in the rural fund, correct?
If we took that detective, and I know you've already moved it, but if we took that back to rural, if there's comfort in going down to 19%, it gives us a little would give us a little more flexibility in general fund. Is that where am I missing this? Tell me why that's not a good idea.
And I'm also fine with keeping it at 21. I was just trying to get clarification from what Loris was saying.
Yeah.
Sustainable long term. I think the max that you want in the rural fund is 22, and the cost of a detective is 25,000 to 30,000 higher than a road deputy. So ongoing sustainability is what I'm looking at when I make the suggestion that we have the 19 deputies and three detectives out of the rural fund.
Maybe I'm missing something. Let me say it again. But if we took the what am I missing?
No, I get what you're saying is for keeping they're separate. You're putting into the rural fund the
Pay all the detectives.
Deputies,
out of the
not
fund.
The detectives. The detectives is what you're leaving in the rural fund.
No, the general fund is what I meant to say.
The general fund has more
way more flexibility.
Right.
And that's what we're looking for related to this. By moving that detective back to the rural fund.
It's even though I don't like the process we have now, that people come to us any time of the year and make requests. Even though I don't like that, you know, I wish it were more predictable. I know it's a reality. It's going to happen. So what I'm saying is if the detective, you move that one detective back to the rural fund, we free up a little, give ourselves a little more flexibility in the general. And I'm saying with your first scenario, it would take the 21 down to something.
It'd be lower than 19%.
It'd be lower. Well,
position would take it down
more than
19.
Yeah.
It's more than 100.
That's what I was not getting.
Yeah.
Thank you for
salary and benefits.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Because if you move the salary, you move the benefits.
Yeah. Yeah.
The insurance, the FICA, the IFRS, everything.
Oh,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whereas when you're in the general fund, all you're funding is the detective at 60-some thousand.
And the
rest of it is
the
supplemental.
The insurance will be in the supplemental. Okay. That, yes. I remember that now. Okay.
And you know, as we talked about last time we met, the 27% in the general fund is 6.3 million. Okay, 27%. And we typically end the year at 4-5% higher than we budget. So hopefully, this proposal gives us a little bit of flexibility in the general fund.
Okay.
The rural fund doesn't have a lot of flexibility overall because of the restricted uses for it. You can only use it for certain things. So it's not as user friendly.
That's a good way to put it, though. All right.
And yeah, we can publish, as I've said, quite a few times. This is a new ball game, so I don't know how this is going to play anyway when it comes to the additional publication, because in order to ask for taxes of more than 2% in both of those tax increases of more than 2% in both of those areas, you have to do a public hearing vote. Mm-hmm. Two out of three have to approve it to go forward that way, and that's going to me. That's an interesting little twist because that looks like a lot. 9% looks like a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm. So we might actually see some people.
But
yes.
Mm-hmm. I also know that very rarely do we get anybody that pays attention.
So, Linda, you want to look at 21 for the publication and then we'll see what happens from there? Okay.
I'm thinking. Lisa?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be open to that. I kind of look like if we don't really need the dollars, do you start out at that particular rate? But since you are open to have, we can lower it as we go through the process, then I guess I'd be fine with that.
Last year, when we raised the bill, we didn't hear anything.
Yeah,
it's whether people, yeah. We have one more publication.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah. Well, you haven't raised the rules since, 2013?
Yeah, last year was the first year it had been raised since 2013, and you didn't hear anything, so there you go. Now, I'm still very, you know, you can defend the levy rate. I mean, the overall levy rate, well, in 16 it was $8.56.
Mm-hmm.
We're going down to $8.26 this year. say like 14, it was 868. So the levy rate's what taxes are based on.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the legislature wants to hear that or not, but that's what the levy, that's what the taxes are based on, is the levy rate.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going down in the levy rate.
Yeah, you're right. We can defend it. I mean, you know, showing that the
right.
pattern came down and
right.
make that for a little of our decision last year to have played, you know, given what we didn't thought that the legislature might
do. It would be interesting to see in the unincorporated areas where the valuations went up. Now, I bet you a lot of it's residential.
Would have to be.
I mean, I know that farmland's selling higher, and we know.
Yeah, do you want to do? Do you want? Lucy made this comment to me the other day. Do we want the do we want the assessor to give us a little
mm-hmm.
presentation on
yeah.
the assessments of Story County?
I think it'd be great. Yeah.
Do you want to plan that for the day that we actually talk about going forward with the public, with what we're going to publish?
I think it sounds like a good idea.
So at this point in time, that would be asking him to come forward. Hold on, let me get my calendar.
Okay.
So I'm going to send this. I will be sending this to rest publication on the 20th of February. To be published on, no, excuse me, I'll send it on the 11th to propose the maximum power, the property tax resolution. You will actually have that public hearing on March 3rd at 10 a.m. for that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to include him in that March 3rd?
I think it's a good idea because then we don't do our final vote until March 24th. That gives time for him to present to us. And if any public wants to watch that, you know, information and watch, and that they have plenty of time to watch the video or listen to the audio.
Because then what I will, then the way the schedule looks and works is I will send whatever that resolution to the paper to publish the whole budget at
mm-hmm.
this one, and then if you want to lower it on March 24th, you have that ability.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
So you'll contact Wayne?
I'll contact Wayne.
Thank you.
Well, actually, I'm going to sign that to Lou, so I'm going to let
Lou. Oh, will you contact
Wayne?
Yeah,
I'm sorry you weren't there.
It's been a good day,
Wayne. Thank you. It was your idea. That's why I said that.
You know, I'm just pointing out, too, and you guys probably also realized that as well. I mean, I realized it earlier, and I just reminded myself on it. But the rural rate of 3.23923 was the same as last year. What's different is the valuation. So, I mean, that's the other thing. We tell people, if you didn't change that, it's the valuations that
changed
it.
And that's
that
why I want to know if the valuations are higher on ag land.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Because the rollback to it or on residential.
Right.
And
right.
knowing all the residential development that's been happening in the county and then the Dandu Donut District. That's what I would like to hear Wayne give us some more information on. No, but rural land values have gone up too. There have been
right.
some sales with some pretty high land values.
Mm-hmm. Did you see a recent advertisement in the paper speaking of that? $20,000 an acre as for some land southwest of Gilbert, northwest of Ames. $20,000 an acre. I just happened to be going through the Sunday paper, and all of a sudden I yelled, and Terry wondered what had happened to me. I said,
$20,000 an acre.
Yeah, just since you were on that discussion.
Yeah, there's,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that'll be a record.
Whoa.
It was just advertised that.
Hertz had it just listed. Mm-hmm. So back to yes. So it will be an interesting presentation.
Yeah. Capital
to me, it's
hard to kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do they do?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know.
I will incorporate, just so you know, tonight's decision, just so that it's
mm-hmm.
In the numbers, So I will incorporate tonight's decision in there so that all the budgets are what the compensation board recommends for the elected officials in that. Okay?
Once again, you have worked wonders.
I like playing with the numbers.
Mm-hmm. This is good
information.
Thank you.
So, that's
good about it.
That's how it looks. That's what, according to the new rules, this is what we're going to do. So, on March 3rd, we will present a resolution to do this after publication and have Wayne speak that day too. And then you guys determine that at that point whether we go forward. If we do, then you can lower it at the public hearing if you want to. You can lower the rate.
Mm-hmm. And do you show, because I don't know from that public hearing, do you show then revenues, expenses, all of that at that particular time, or is it just the discussion on the rate itself?
The resolution, here, look at this, look at what goes to publication. I have to do some research on, it's tiny too.
Yeah.
I have to do some research on what the resolution looks like. Because this will be a first to have this resolution. Isn't that how you understand it, Lucy?
All the auditors are currently talking about it, asking each other, if you have a resolution, can you share it with me so I can do it for my board? So we'll work it out together in 99 months. So we're all working together.
Yeah. We would ask it not be 99
where that is.
All we're going to put in the resolution is the
rate they need to put in.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
The actual approval of the budget is when I will have all the expenses and revenues summarized. Now, honestly, I'll do it now. It'll happen now because when I have all the final numbers,
sure.
I go ahead and put them in that format so they're available for the next 3 weeks or 4 weeks or however long it's necessary. Or however long people want to look at them.
Everybody has to come for the meeting today at 4.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Are they meeting downstairs?
Put a bunch of signs, extra signs.
So the evaluation is in here. This doesn't show.
That's what the Department of Management.
It's like half the information is
money.
Yeah.
It's designed to cause questions.
Yes, I think so.
It's more
so. Can you go beyond what they request?
I don't think so.
No, they need the form.
BOM provided that form.
Yeah.
Remember when we all went to Gateway that day and listened?
Now, in the. In the publication that we do for the budget, it does include the valuation.
Yes.
So when we were down at statewide ISACS for supervisors last week, one of the proposals that we were told is going further along the same line. Now, it was at one point, if you're above 1%,
01.
1.01.
Anything over that, you have to go to a countywide election.
Thank you. Okay, so you do that. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's the dumbest thing I've ever read. Okay.
So, last Saturday, I went to the League of Women Voters Legislative Wake Up and reminded everybody about home rule and that we did have some very essential services. And Everett Duff and Herman and Ross were all supportive. They knew they would be. And so,
did anyone else show up?
Countywide election in Story County cost what?
$85,000 to $100,000. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that we didn't agree to come up with that money. We can't levy more taxes for it. That's right.
Well, I guess we should have done it.
Or you tell everybody they don't get paid one week.
Or you just run that crap.
You'll end up owing me money at that rate.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably not accurate. It's probably not that much. But we're budgeting $125,000 for the general election, which is a countywide election. For something like this, you probably wouldn't have all the precincts open, but still, it wouldn't be cheap. And to serve what purpose?
Even with both centers,
that county home rule,
probably $45,000.
Yeah.
At a minimum, I mean,
well,
Larry's done legislation. That was right up there. Nothing you wrote is that.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Well, last year it looked like it was going to be a 0%, didn't it? And they ended up just saying we have an extra publication and we need a supermajority, which is 2 out of 3.
And they gave us another 16 days to
start. So let's hope that they realize the damage that they were going to do if they did that, and they just did something that was saying, okay, more transparency, whatever, in that name, and hopefully this year everybody will want to get back early because it's an election year, and
yeah, and
we'll have you calling every day.
Yeah, right.
So
did you hear about the other one about that supervisors would only be paid, paid no more than the median income?
So
the comp board would go away. And so I was sitting there, at least when I were at the safe table, I just looked it up. So it was about $30,000 per supervisor less, which, you know, for us here. Okay, but we no longer be tied to other elected officials, which we can do anyway and split ourselves off. But yeah, so it was, that was an interesting one.
Well, was it last year or year before that they had, well, there's been legislation numerous years before.
Numerous times to get rid of the comp board.
Yeah.
Or to, I don't know, make it more like a conference board that the assessors have. I don't know, there's been all sorts of things proposed about that.
Well, any other decisions that we need to make today?
Thank you very much for your
so why is it all
patience and number of meetings and all that.
Morning.
Yeah. Well, thank you because we've made more work.
Remember this morning?
I barely do. Thank you. I mean, I'm not good at this. I haven't had to.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. I would like to thank our assistant auditor and our auditor, and particularly our assistant auditor, because I know we put most work on you. You spent a lot of time redoing things, answering questions for us this year. And I, for one, and I know the other two supervisors appreciate it a lot, too. You really help us through this process. And sometimes I know I ask the same question more than once, and you say, I do this every day for 20 years. You're new. Don't worry about it. Keep asking questions. And I have to tell you how much I appreciate that. So thank you very much for bringing us through this budget. Appreciate it a lot.
One thing that I said to Sandra, and I wanted to tell everyone, please, if there's anything about the process that you'd like to change, that you think could be different, or you've seen different, and you want to suggest it, I'm more than willing. I try to adapt to whatever it works for.
Well,
the board I'm working with.
One thing that we've been talking about, I'll just tell you, in fact, is just, and not in terms of making any decisions, but just the fact that we have a budget process. We go through a couple, you know, more than a couple, several weeks of work sessions. We think, okay, the budget's done for the year. And then we do get requests all the way through the years we're talking about funds. And I, for one, it makes me kind of uncomfortable because sometimes we end up making decisions on requests without having goals in mind, without any outcomes in mind, or without even knowing maybe how much we have to work with. I mean, here's what I'm getting at. The city of Ames evidently has a process where if there's any outside funding requests, they do an announcement and they have some criteria, and they do this once a year in October. And then they have those requests, or at least a good share of things that people might be looking at, or agencies, organizations might be looking at, available when they start their budget process. I don't know what it looks like, but I talked to Deb Shoulders today, and she said she would send it. And we wanted to just look at that and maybe even just have some discussion time on a board agenda coming up of, is this something that might help us in more orderly,
Planful,
yes, exactly. Spending and decision making throughout, you know, to get it. And we might still want to say we would reserve the right if something comes up and it's just really urgent somewhere to do it. Mm-hmm. Like you say, with our department heads and elected officials, if something comes up during the year, you know, we will help out. You know,
or something unique, very unique
yeah.
That isn't
so.
You know,
so I don't know where that's going
to go. I'm interested to know how Ames does it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
my running sheet is partially based off that because I covered them for so long. So they've been doing this for a long time. But it's back to the, you know, my split out of, but what are we likely to see coming down the road, et cetera. And it's based on the fact that, that Ames does it in a very organized fashion. So a lot of those small to medium requests are already anticipated when they do their budget.
Yeah, there might be some things we do that are okay being standing. There might be some things. I mean, it give us an opportunity to look at all the little funding programs we have as well, because we'd have to say if we were going to, you know, reserve or do whatever, you know, what the source would be. But I think there's a good reason to look at this, a lot of the little programs we have right now, and say, is this still serving a purpose? Are we just doing this because we've always done this? Yeah. So I don't know where it's going, but
that's definitely
want you to look at this and say, do you think we can make this work for the county?
One of the reasons that we started doing a quarterly financial update, I mean, I've always provided financial information to the board, and it's always available out there on the S drive or whatever. But if you don't know what you're looking at and what you're looking for, you know.
Bunch of numbers.
Right. So that's why I started doing a quarterly financial, where we're at in each and everybody's budget, where we're at in fund balances, where we're trending for the year, because that was helpful to some boards that I worked with in the previous, to see where we're, you know, where we are or aren't spending as much as we had anticipated. So.
Yeah, and that's very helpful. But, you know, but also just, you know, I'm still also interested in, are we making the best decisions when those things just kind of come at us from out of left field? Is this consistent with goals that we've set? You know, is this consistent with things we've said we'd be willing to fund for whatever reason, rather than just, hey, Joe has an idea.
Right.
You know, or something. Then maybe Joe has an idea, and I think, absolutely great idea. So maybe a combination of getting some of those decisions made more upfront during the budget process, and then combining with that you let us know the status as we're going through quarterly, I think we could get, I think we could find some things that would, hopefully tweak and improve our system a little bit.
Well,
okay. When I get that, I'll include you on distribution then.
Thanks.
And you too, Lucy, so you can look at that and see what you see. And Lucy and Sandra as well.
I will talk to the assessor on March 3rd.
Thank
also,
you.
Also, we have
Election Day.
Five elections that I am controlling, and one more at Sheldon. So.
That's a great idea to have the assessor come.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, he was. He can explain things. We understand that better. Explain that maybe it's beyond my verbal capabilities.
It's just because it's late in the afternoon today, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now we are.